أهل السنة والجماعة ميديا presents On the Path to Guidance by Sheikh أبو عدنان.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا كثيرا يوافي نعم الله علينا ويكافئ مزيده، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The topic today, my brothers and sisters in Islam, about maintaining your Islamic life. It's about staying away from the two things that you make dua from every day, 17 times a day. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. You do not want to be from the people who have wrecked and destroyed themselves. The people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. And He has a wrath against the ones who are misguided. That we make this dua, subhanallah al-azim, 17 times a day. How come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not protect us? How come do we keep falling into the same problem over and over and over again? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not answer the dua of a heart that is busy, turning away, engaged in dunya. Subhanallah al-azim. Allah only subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua when you're saying, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. That's a dua. Guide us to the straight path. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of the ones that you bestowed mercy upon. غير المغضوب عليهم, not the path that you are, the people that you are angry with. Not the path of الضالين, the misguided. So how come we keep falling into the غضب of Allah? How come we keep falling into the ضلالة? My brothers and sisters in Islam, there are reasons why we don't follow properly. There are impediments on the path of guidance. And I will run through some of them today. There are many, but the heads of them, the masters of them, the pinnacles of them, the first and the foremost, the weakness of knowledge. The weakness of knowledge. That is one of the most important catalysts in misguidance. Because the only one who disobeys Allah, the only one who turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ignorant one. The only one who does not follow the light when he sees it because he's ignorant that this is a light. Or he sees it a light but some other elements come to play. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Al-Khadr when he said to Musa, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ran out of patience towards what he can see. But there is some knowledge behind it that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did not have, but the Khadr did have alayhi salatu wasalam. The Khadr is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. Not a wali, as some would say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. How can you be patient about something that you have no knowledge of? So that lack of knowledge made Musa alayhi salatu wasalam lose patience. The lack of knowledge of knowing who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lack of knowledge about knowing the haqq, it is one of the strongest impediments, obstacle in the path of guidance. And not only knowing, no. You have to favor the ilm, the haqq, the truth, once you know about it, over the falsehood, the batil. Knowing by itself sometimes is not good enough. Do you favor it over the misguidance? Do you favor it over the falsehood? Or you are like the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. And from amongst the people who worship Allah on the edge. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If his life is going easy, 100%, the wife is happy, the food on the table, no problems at all, no headaches. Wallahi, I am the first one to come to the masjid. But if there is a fitna, وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ. There is problems. The Muslims today on the media, they are on channel 9 and 7. The guys with the beard, they're on the TV. What happens? We don't want that now. Khalas, leave Islam for a little while until things get better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ. He falls straight on his face. What happens then? خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He loses the dunya and hereafter. But if he has knowledge truly about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his heart would not waver. And he would remain steadfast. And he knows that this is a calamity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will remain guided. And I'll keep my hijab on. And I do not compromise my hijab. I'll keep wearing the jilbab that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted me to wear. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted me to wear. I don't change to Calvin Klein jeans. Is it Calvin Klein? They don't fit me anyway anymore. So, that's a reality, ya ikhwa. Because we are ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people are ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do not have the full iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worship Allah just to fill his stomach and to live a good life. As part of something we do. We come to the masjid. As something we just do it as a habit to hang out. Not driven by aqidah, not motivated by love, not motivated by fear, not motivated by knowledge, no. He comes to meet the brothers and hang out with the brothers. And when the brother's under pressure, he is the first one to release the pressure and disappears. And this is the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described. They worship Allah on a harf, on an edge. Subhanallah al-Azim. And this is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the only one who passes the test is the one who has knowledge of Allah. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْجُهَالُ وَالْعُلَمَاءُ. Al-ulama, the one who know Allah. The one who understand who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the one who have the real fear. And nothing hinders their way. And they do not fear the blame of the blamers. And they do not fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another obstacle on the path of guidance. Another reason why people become misguided. Another reason why people reject the haq, the truth when it comes to them. A very important reason. And it's a universal reason. It's a kauni reason. Qadari reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes, because he knows this person is no good. Some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to guide. Why? Because their heart is rotten. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ. If Allah knows that they're inside their heart there is goodness, he will make him hear his verses, the guidance. But Allah knows their hearts are filthy. He knows their hearts have so much evil. وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And even if he makes them hear the haq and the truth, they will turn away anyway. Because the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. Encompasses everything, even things that did not happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it, when it happens, how it's going to happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-Layl, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْتَى وَاتَّقَى. As for the one who gives generously, and he is dutiful to Allah, and has fear of Allah, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and he believes in the best and goodness, in the Jannah, in the hereafter, in everything that is good. He took the initiative to begin with. He was searching for the truth. He found the truth. He was generous towards it. He believed in it. And he followed it. Allah makes فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We'll make a path, his path to goodness, easy and smooth. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. As for the one who is a miser and he turns away and he thinks he is self-sufficient without the help of Allah. The one who is too proudful, let's say, I don't need, my intellect tells me that I don't need to follow this deen. My brains, I reject it. I don't like this. Tayyib, this deen that you came with, and you all heard probably, yani that woman, and when the sheikh was there, in that television program, she said, the niqab is what? It's a historical thing. It's not got nothing to do with Islam. This ayah is implemented on her. That's why, no hijab for her. Why? Because her intellect, his intellect, their intellect, anyone's intellect, thinks, I am self-sufficient to know the haq by myself. I don't need anyone to tell me the haq. I don't need no books, I don't need no Islam, I don't need the Quran, I don't need no sunnah. I am smart enough to know what I need to do in my life. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to them? فَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And he belied the good. What happens? فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. We will make a path to evil smooth. The path to evil becomes very smooth. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in the Quran in a beautiful way. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. And when Allah alone is mentioned, the hearts of the ones who do not believe in the hereafter, they desist it and they dislike it. And I want you to see some of the brothers. If you are sitting in a gathering, subhanAllah makes the ayat of Allah clear in front of you. You'll be sitting in a gathering and they're playing cards or smoking cigarettes, watching television. You, the brother with the big beard, you walk in. Here you go. He came. It's going to give us a headache. Haram. Mr. Haram, Mr. Wahhabi, Mr. This, Mr. Whatever, label, just to belittle you. Now he's laughing, he knows I'm speaking the truth. Huh? It happened, hasn't it? When Allah alone is mentioned, اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. That is the reality. But if you, one of those clean-shaven, who's going to sit and play with them cards, they would smile and welcome you, a welcome that you've never seen in your life. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. As for the ones who are lesser than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني the creation and whatever they associate with Allah with, إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. They feel joy and happy, and happiness comes to their heart. When the haram is mentioned, we start talking about which singer, which music, which football game, which haram that you're going to fall into, this is the good conversation they like to hear. But the conversation of remembering Allah, remembering Islam, adhering to the deen, adhering to the sunnah, adhering to the word of Allah, al-qulubu tashma'iz. Allah, leave us from this. He's a ma'ad. He has some psychological problems. It's an identity crisis. He's looking for an identity. Wallahi, anyone who says this, he himself falling into identity crisis. He does not want to know, ila ha'ula aw ila ha'ula. He wants to be a Muslim or a kafir. His foot with the kufr and his eye in Islam. Wal'iyadhu billah. And that is the reality, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Another impediment, an obstacle in the way of guidance, the hasad and pride. Some people do not accept the haqq. And I'm not talking about kuffar coming to Islam. This is not everything I'm talking about. I'm talking about brothers who reject to practice Islam. Or they practice Islam, they do not practice it as it's supposed to be practiced. Out of pride, out of hasad, out of envy in the heart. What made the shaitan fall into that kufr? Ana khayrun min. I am better than Adam. Jealousy and envy towards Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam with his two hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he taught Adam al-asma'a kullaha. What happened? Iblis did not like it. And he had envy and hatred towards Adam. then he rejected the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those envious group from the people of the scripture in the days of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the knowledge. And in that knowledge, in that scripture was the description of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they knew Muhammad going to come sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as one of them would know his own child. They would know that this is the man who's going to come. But what they did not expect, he did not come from their descendant. He came from descendant of Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam. From the Arabs, they disliked it and rejected it. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Shuf, the envy, it led them to conceal the haqq. The pride led them to conceal the haqq. And Allah said, continuing the ayah, to the meaning, and a group of them knew the truth. They knew the truth. But they will conceal it whilst they know it. Out of what? Out of envy, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And listen to Abu Jahl. When a man asked him, why do you do not accept Islam? Listen to the silly argument he put. He said, تَصَابَقْنَا نَحْنُ وَبَنُ هَاشِمْ عَلَى الشَّرَفِ. Us, his clan, and Banu Hashim, which is the grandfathers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tribe, that specific branch of Quraysh, Banu Hashim. He said, we used to compete, us and Banu Hashim, about the honor. حتى إذا كنا كفرسي رهان. Until we became so close in that competition, like two racing horses, you see them very close to each other. قالوا منا نبي. Banu Hashim said, from us, Muhammad, a prophet. فمتى ندركها? How can we get a prophet like him? والله لا نؤمن به. By Allah, we're not going to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His tribalism, his hasad, his ghira from Banu Hashim led him to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and died in the worst way possible. والعياذ بالله. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it. In the Quran, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Lots of the people of the book, lots of the people of the scripture, they would love to turn you away from your deen. Based on what? Envy. Envy from themselves after the truth has become clear to them. Shuf, subhanallah al-azim. That envy and hatred. And today, my brothers and sisters, that disease of envy and hatred that is amongst us, it's an obstacle of guidance. Sometimes you cannot find the khushu' in your heart. Sometimes you cannot find the iman in your heart. Sometimes you stand up for the salat. Check that heart. Maybe you have envy towards some of your brothers and sisters in Islam. Maybe you have envy and hasad and ghira from your brothers and sisters in Islam. You could see a sister in Islam and another sister in Islam. She dislikes her because her husband is wealthier than her husband. And what she does, she has envy towards her, hatred towards her. Then she stands up for the salat. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to put a blessing in that heart? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to guide that heart if it is full of hatred and envy? And this is one of the worst sins in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Smallest pride and envy, it is the lesser shirk, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it. And wallahi, there is hardly any cure once that disease takes over the heart and controls the heart. There is no easy cure for it. And it leads to people, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, to physical sickness, until they become mentally disturbed. They hate everyone, even their own family members. Subhanallah al-Azim, this bad disease. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the strength to come back another time, inshallah we'll make a specific lecture about this disease, which is al-hasad wal-ghayra, which is widespread amongst the Muslims. Another obstacle is the position. The position. A lot of people reject to practice Islam, or even they practice Islam, they do not really fully practice it. Why? Because I am a bank manager. What would the people say if they see me growing a beard? I am a company manager. What would the people do if they see me pray? And wallahi, not long ago, just about a week ago, a brother told me a story, really disturbing story. He said, I have a friend at work, and we pray in the medical bay. You know, some big companies, they have a sick bay where the sick people, he said, we use it and we pray. And one day I opened the door without knocking. And one of the brothers, he was praying. As soon as he heard the door opening, he threw with his foot the praying mat under the bed, picked up a phone, and he acted like he's talking on the phone. What's this? La ilaha illallah. What? He said to me, what do I do? I said to him, talk to him, may Allah guide him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah al-azim. Why? Fearing that maybe I'll lose my position. What would my friends at work perceive me as? What would they think about me? Let them think what they want to think. You're a Muslim and it's time for salat. And you're praying at the right time. So what? What's the big deal? What are you afraid of? And some of the brothers and sisters who changed their first name for a position in a company. And some of them go to the extent they change it in their passport. And we get those happening all the time. When we get passports from people going to Hajj, you see his name is Steve. Ya akhi, tam tali ismak Mustafa. What happened to Steve? Wallahi, this is mentality. He says, wallahi, you know, jahiliya now, I want to change it. He said, wallahi, hdik, change it. Your parents called you Mustafa, chosen. You call yourself Steve. Wallahi, ajib. Subhanallah. And this is one of the obstacles of hidayah, of guidance. And what led Quraysh to disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Except a lot of them did not want to use the chair they are sitting on. These chairs that makes people amir and bosses, a lot of the people don't want to compromise it. And Hiraql, in the beginning he believed, and he became a Muslim, he wants to become a Muslim, and he wants to announce it to his people. Once he felt they going to remove him, he preferred the hukum and the ruling. Subhanallah al-Azim. Same thing for Fir'aun. He rejected the haq. Why? Why did he reject Musa? Because he wanted to remain as Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I am your highest Lord. I am your ilah. He wanted to remain there. That's why he rejected the haq. And so many for their lifestyle and for the positions they possess, they do not want to compromise. And they reject the haq and the deen when it comes to them. Except some examples Allah gives us throughout history. Like the Najashi. How he accepted the haq. He did not fear losing his position. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated his status. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed on him salatul ghaib. Shuf subhanallah al-azim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is in all the way in Abyssinia and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the other side of the world. In Hijaz, yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed on him. Shuf the karama. And he never lost his position. He remained the king. Because he trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knew the haq and followed the haq without compromising it. Another obstacle, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Another obstacle on the way of guidance. Loving the desires and wealth. Loving the desires of wealth. The money. The desires. And I'll tell you, mention you this modern story. And this is from a person that I knew. Ask him, Ya akhi, why don't you go to Hajj? He says, I want to live a little bit more. He used to pray and fast Ramadan, no problem. But he had this belief that if he has to go to Hajj, then he has to stop all this haram. طيب يا أخي, ما you're supposed to stop the haram anyway, whether you go to Hajj or you don't go to Hajj. He says, no, I want to go watch the Lebanese belly dancing parties. So if I go to Hajj and they see me there, they say, the Hajji is going to belly dancing parties. So how's that going to work? I don't want to go to Hajj. And wallahi, Allah never gave him the chance to see the Kaaba. Allah never gave him the chance to see the Kaaba. Because you returned away. He turned away from the guidance and from the hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave him that chance. Look at Quraysh. Some of them, when they used to stop the people coming to Islam, what they used to do? They used to stop along the path of the people who are coming to listen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say to them, listen, this man, he says zina, adultery is haram. It's haram. He forbids you from doing it. Some people say, no, I want to keep committing zina, ya habibi. Khalas, leave me. They turn their back. And Al-A'sha, one of the Arab poets, he came to become a Muslim. Tayyib. And when he was asking about Islam, they said to him, no, Islam forbids the khamra, the alcohol. He said, no, I don't want Islam. Hal anni. He jumped on his camel. He fell off his camel. His camel kicked him and he died. Died what? Kafir. Because he does not want to give up alcohol. How many brothers and sisters today, they say, I want to live a little bit more. I'll wear the hijab just next year, inshallah. When I reach 40, when I reach 35, when I get married, you might die and never get married. You might die and never get married. Guarantee me that if you left the car park today, you're not going to have an accident and die. I'll tell you, okay, don't wear the hijab. Since you can't guarantee, you need to wear the hijab. There's nothing to guarantee your life. Nothing to guarantee your life and how long is your life. And I'll tell you from our experience, we pray more janazah on young people than we pray janazah on old people. That is known. Ask any funeral home, they will tell you. Any Muslim funerals, they will tell you the youth are more to die. We bury more youth than we bury old people. Tayyib. Do you guarantee your age? Do you guarantee how long you're going to live? If you can't guarantee, what are you waiting for? Now, I still want to go out a little bit more. You know, there's a few nightclubs open new. I don't know, here we have in Sydney called Oxford Street and King's Cross. And here, I don't know, is it St. Kilda here? St. Kilda, huh? I got it right. King Street, Sydney, huh? Allah al-Musta'an. How would you know? Your uncle. I don't think you should be talking to your uncle anymore. Tayyib, subhanallah al-azim. There is a few new nightclubs, we want to try them. Ya akhi wallahi, how do you know that someone shanks you in the nightclub? Imagine you die dancing. I repeat this story to you, I've said it before and I said it again. I don't know if you heard it from me, but the stories that I know about and I witnessed and people who I know, yani they leave a mark in my life, athar in my life. Let me tell you this story. A woman, of course, she's Arab. She attends. She used to attend all this mixed wedding and dancing and that. She repented. She said, Alhamdulillah, khalas, I want to go Hajj. She went to Hajj. Performed Hajj. Came back from Hajj. They just started to call her Hajja. One day, one of the close family members, he wants to do those Lebanese mixed weddings with all the haram practiced in them. They kept on whinging over her head. Come. She says, no, I'm a hajjah now. They kept on. She of the bad companions also, another bad, yani, and as the obstacle in the way of guidance. They kept on whinging. No, come. She said, okay, I'll go. She went. Then they're sitting, and her favorite song came up. And they said to her, khalas, let's get up dancing, yani, khalas. Yani, once happened, she of the shaitan, but she had the shahwa. Shuf the shahwa, the desire for doing that, it wasn't dead in her heart yet. There's still a little bit. It hasn't been quashed yet, but it was fueled by the bad companions. She got up and danced. She had a heart attack and died on the spot. Now, وَيُبْعَثُ الْمَرْءُ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. The person will be resurrected according and in the way that he died. Some people come out of their graves saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la Sharika laka Labbaik. Some people come out, the blood coming out, gushing, the color of blood, but the smell is musk. And some people come out having cigarettes in their hand, and some of them come out dancing on the tunes of Arab singers. So what would you say to Allah on the day of judgment, standing, dancing? Ya subhanallah al-azim. Allah al-musta'an. This shahwa, these desires that we have, it is an obstacle on the way to guidance. Kill it. Wallahi, there is no sweetness like the sweetness of Iman. There is no taste like the taste of Iman. There is no sweetness like praying behind an Imam who's reciting the ayat of Allah while you are trying to reflect and listen and enjoy. Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that love in the heart. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ لَا يُجِبْ دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُعْجِزٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And the ones who doubt, and the one who does not answer the call of the caller of Allah, he's not going to be hard to get on this earth. Khalas. Allah will bring him. And Allah will take his life. And that's what stops a lot of the people from becoming Muslim. And a lot of the people from be guided. I don't want to wear the hijab. 40 degrees outside. 35. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to the masjid 5 times. Subhanallah al-Azim. But when they die, then they say, I wish. When they are put in the grave, they say, ah, la adri. Who is your Lord? What is your religion? Who is the man who was sent to you? Ah, la adri. I have no answer. Because I really didn't care. I really didn't worry about it. Subhanallah al-Azim. And another one. And this is a very important point, an obstacle on the way of guidance, an obstacle on the way of hidayah, loving the family and family members more than loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, sometimes you have this environment at home, unreligious environment. The father doesn't pray, the mother doesn't pray, your sister doesn't pray. You by yourself, you want to start praying. You want to start to adhere to Islam. You find yourself lonely inside your own home. It's a very bad feeling. But it's very rewardful feeling. A brother who comes to Islam, who converts to Islam, leaving all his family members behind. That's if they don't declare war against him. Trying to rob him from his right to exist. That's another reason what stops people from accepting the truth and the haqq. And that environment that you live in normally puts a lot of pressure on you. What would my cousin say? What would my family members say? Now I'm wearing hijab. Now I am wearing thawb and growing my beard and going to the masjid. Now I am going to stop what I do every day. The sister who wears niqab. I want you to put yourself the difficulty once a sister decides to wear niqab and to cover her face. Normally in a family dinner, her sister will bring her husband and her cousins come and they all sit on a round table and have the barbecue together and eat together. Free mixing, no problem. Then all of a sudden she wore niqab. She can't show him her face. She isolates herself from the family. How hard is that? But how much is the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That in itself can be sometimes an obstacle to some people. And that's why the Muslim need to overcome it. By knowing why he's doing this for. And to whom he's doing it. And the reward of the day on the day of judgment. Jannat tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Heaven, not only one garden or two, Jannat, rivers of flow from underneath it. Another obstacle in the way of guidance, belittling the religion of Islam and belittling the Muslims and fearing the peer pressure. Fearing what? The peer pressure. Some brothers who have a group of friends. First, we spoke about family. Second, about friends. And this is very important. That qareen is a very important. That qareen, that close companion that you have, is very important. Could be destructive. How many brothers adopt smoking from peer pressure? How many brothers smoke drugs from peer pressure? How many brothers, they were good, once they have met their older friends, they fell into haram. Just the friendship. That peer pressure with his friends. He wants to show that he's good in front of them. How many sisters, they compromise their hijab because of their friends? How many sisters refuse to wear the hijab because of their friends? Because all of the friends that she hang out with, all of the friends that she talks to on the phone, all the brothers that he has, all of them, they don't follow Islam. They actually, on the contrary, they lead him to evil and to shaitan. What stopped Abu Talib from becoming a Muslim? Even though he believed fully in his heart that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is correct and on the right religion. He said it, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. I knew that the religion of Muhammad is one of the best religions that the people can believe in and adopt. وَلَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةِ أَوْ حَذَارِ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَلِكَ مُبِينًا. And if it wasn't that the people blame me and look down on me, and they will curse me after my death, and they will curse me in front of me, you would see me saying La ilaha illallah easily and clearly. He's dying, and the Prophet ﷺ crying his heart out till the last minute of his life. The pressure was there from his clan and his friends. Are you going to leave our millah? Are we going to leave our ways? Are you going to leave a millat Abdul Muttalib? How can you leave it? Why do you want to leave it? Stay on it. And he felt the pressure to the last second. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, crying next to him, say la ilaha illallah ya amma. Oh, my uncle, just say it. At least I have something to talk to and defend you in front of my Lord on the day of judgment. No. The pressure is there. Millat Abdul Muttalib. Are you going to leave us? And he said, the Prophet ﷺ saying, please, just say it, say this word. Because the Prophet ﷺ knew that his heart is a believing heart. And he supported the Prophet ﷺ, meaning he implemented the actions of the limbs. Because what was in Mecca? Nothing except accepting Islam and be with the Prophet ﷺ. Yet, he rejected. And he died. When he died, he said to Ali radiallahu anhu, go bury your misguided uncle. Subhanallah al-Azim. Go bury him like this. Khalas. Filth. Gone. Why? It's the peer pressure. It's that pressure of the people, the environment that is around him that led him to disbelieve and reject the haq and reject the truth. And also, my brothers and sisters in Islam, following the footsteps of the forefathers. Wallahi, my father never practiced Islam. Yani, let me give you this example. This is a sister came to me once complaining. Her husband starting a big business through the banks and haram and riba and everything. And she was saying, can you please talk to him? Warn him. I can't live with him if he's going to bring us food from haram. You know what was his answer? He said, Wallahi, that's what my father says. And I am going to follow my father. And I'll follow my father and I will never disobey him. I told him, even in haram? He said, even if in haram. I can't disobey him. And all my family, my brothers, my father, my uncles, all of them are involved in this. I don't want to be the odd one in the family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ. And when he said to them, come to what Allah has revealed and the messenger, قَالُوا حَسْبُنَا مَا وَجَدَنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَانَا. It is sufficient for us what we found our forefathers upon. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. isn't it that their forefathers or their fathers, they do not know anything and they're not guided? What a lame excuse, my brothers and sisters in Islam. What a lame excuse. In everything that we do in our life, we do not follow our forefathers. On the contrary, you find the child, because his father is a doctor, he doesn't want to become a doctor. Because his father is a sheikh, he doesn't want to become a sheikh. Because his father is a mechanic, he doesn't want to become a mechanic. Wallahi, some brothers, I know him, their fathers, yani, a brother, I know he has one of the biggest accounting firm in Sydney. He's begging his son to take over the business, millions of dollars. He says, no, I don't want to. In everything, we don't follow the foots of our forefathers. But when it comes to the haqq, we rejected using that lame excuse. Wallahi, this is what I found my father upon. And so many people use it. And it brands them with a culture that they follow. Khalas, there's a culture, they blindly follow that culture. Khalas. They do this culture, that environment, and they cannot break away and leave it. That's it. They become part of it, and they become hostage to it, and they do not leave it. Why? Because they do not want to be the odd person. The only one out. The only one who's different. But no. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاء فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاء طُوبَ, a blessing, a reward, praised. And some ulama, they say it's a tree in Jannah for the strangers. Who said being a stranger is wrong? In a time when we live with full of fitna and full of haram, being a stranger is good. Being a stranger is good. Being different and away from the haram is good. Subhanallah al-Azim. Tayyib, how about we spin the lecture to the other side? We know the obstacles of Hidayah, but what are the reasons I can implement so I can become guided? First and foremost, opposition of Jahl is what? Knowledge. And what is the best knowledge? At-Tawheed. To understand the knowledge of Tawheed. To understand monotheism. It is one of the greatest reasons for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open your heart. Because with Tawheed and a firm belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who bring good and avert and turn away harm, wallahi, nothing comes in your way. And when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only one you should be relying upon, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, wa'alam anna al-umma law ijtama'at ala an yanfa'uka bi shay' lam yanfa'uka illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allah lak. And know that the ummah, meaning the ummah here, yani the Muslims and the non-Muslims, ummah al-da'wa, ummah al-ijaba, both Muslims and non-Muslims, if they were to get together to benefit you with something Allah did not write it for you, they cannot benefit you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if all the people get together to harm you with something, they cannot harm you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written upon you. That firm belief is the fuel of the mu'min. That's why when you are a stranger amongst your family, you know that they cannot harm you. They cannot do anything to you. That's why when you feel lonely, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And that, what does it do in the heart? By knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by knowing that Allah is the creator, is the owner, is the sustainer, is the controller of the world. When you know that Allah is Rabbul Alameen, what does it do? It strikes love in your heart. And that love is what motivates you. It is the fuel that you carry on your life, that helps you carry on with your life. As Ibn al-Qayyim said, and listen to this beautiful world. He said, فَمَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمَعْرِفَتُهُ
ودوام ذكره والسكون إليه والطمأنينة إليه وإفراده بالحب والخوف والرجاء والتوكل والمعاملة بحيث يكون هو وحده المستولي على هموم العبد وعزماته وإراداته. Listen, he said, the love of Allah and to know Him and continuously remembering Him, because you only remember whom? The one that you love. You don't like to remember much the one that you hate. And that's why ulama, they said, if someone curses the dunya, he says, I hate the dunya, I hate this dunya, I don't like this dunya. Know that his heart loves the dunya. You know why? Because he mentioned it too much. I don't like smoking, I hate smoking, I don't like smoking, I don't want to smoke, I hate smoking, I don't want to smoke. Say, Habibi, I think you're feeling like a cigarette. So repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he mentioned it too much. But if you love Allah, you mention Allah so much. And that maintains the love. وَالسُّكُونُ إِلَيْهِ وَالطُّمَأْنِينَ. And to turn to Allah. And feeling peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to single Him out with your love and fear and hope and reliance and treatment. Whilst He become the only one who controls your heart. And He only one that your heart think of. And all your hum, all your worry, everything in your life, all your stress is about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَهُوَ جَنَّةُ الدُّنْيَا. And this is the Jannah in this dunya. وَالنَّعِيمُ الَّذِي لَا يُشْبِهُهُ نَعِيمٌ. And the blessing and the tranquility that there is no blessing like it. And here he said, وَهُوَ قُرَّةُ الْعَيْنِ الْمُحِبِّينَ. And he is the apple of the eye of the ones who love him. وَحَيَاتُ الْعَارِفِينَ. And the life of the ones who truly know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mahabbatullah, knowing Allah, remembering Allah, comes through the knowledge of Tawheed. Coming through knowing Allah with His names and His attributes, subhanallah. The second reason, to have a good opinion about Allah. Do not ever, if you're a believer, think that Allah is plotting against you. Always think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the hadith al-Qudsi, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, I am where the opinion of my slave about me. فَإِنْ ظَنَّ خَيْرًا فَلَهُ وَإِنْ ظَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. If he has a good opinion about me, it is for him. And if he has a bad opinion about me, it's for him. So meaning, if you believe that Allah is the most merciful, and you do that, and you act upon that, what happens? What happens? You find Allah is merciful. And if you are the one who turns away from Allah and have a bad opinion about Allah, what happens? You will find that. Subhanallah al-Azim. The third one, kathratu du'a, to do a lot of supplication. To do a lot of supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the straight path. That du'a is your weapon. That dua, ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh, the one who controls the heart and turns the heart, make my heart firm on your deen. That is a cause of guidance. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continuously used to make dua to Allah, what about us? We need to continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will find, if you had good opinion about Allah, and you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find Allah there for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu narrated, when a sabi, a war booty came to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a woman looking through the people for her child. And she quickly, when she saw her child, took her breast out and took her child straight to her breast and hugged him. Look at that. Love. Imagine a woman, after a battlefield was over, the dust settled, she's looking for her child that she lost. Have you really seen someone looking for their child? If they're lost in a shopping center or in a festival, where hundreds of people are, and this is in a secured place, how about after a battlefield? And then she found that child and hugged him firmly. towards her breast, feeding him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions, do you think this woman would throw that baby in the fire? They replied and said, no way, ya Rasulullah. How can she? Look at her. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful towards his slave than this woman to her baby. Once you have that in your heart and you make the dua, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you down? That is very important, my brothers and sisters in Islam. The fourth reason to abandon anything that makes Allah angry. Anything that is considered an Islam haram, abandon that very quickly. And this is the meaning of وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say,
قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
Say, my prayer and my rights and my life and my death to Allah alone, to رب العالمين alone.
لا شريك له. He has no partners.
And this is what I've been ordered with. And I am the first of the Muslimin. What is the first of the Muslimin? Is it the first to say the Shahada? No. The first of the ones who surrender to Allah. How can you be the first ones who surrender to Allah when you hear Allahu Akbar al-Adhan? You rush to the Salat. Oh Allah, I am the first one to surrender to your command. You ordered me at this time to pray. I am going to be the first one to pray. I am going to be Imam in the Salat. The first one who's praying. The first one behind the Imam. Oh Allah, you ordered me to lower my gaze. I am the first one who's going to obey you. Oh Allah, you told me to wear the hijab. Khalas, from tomorrow. From now. From today. Wa ana awwalul muslimin. I am the first one to surrender to your command. Oh Almighty Allah. Done. No argument about it. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And they said, we hear and we obey. Oh Allah, forgive us. And to you we will return. No. Hang on. سَمِعْنَا أَطَعْنَا. يعني, wait until. لا يا إخوة. That's not how it works. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. You want the success. You believed, خلاص, Islam is the haq. And Muhammad is the truth. And he came with the truth. So what are you waiting for? Why are you delaying? What's the problem? It is the shaitan that comes and take the people. And listen. Listen to Umar radiallahu anhu. When he called the Abbas to do the istisqa. The Medina went through drought. Umar radiallahu anhu, he got the Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the elders. He said, you lead us in the prayer of the rain prayer. What did the Abbas say part of his dua? Allahumma, innahu lam tanzil uquubah illa bi dhanbin wa lam tankashif illa bi tawbah. Oh Allah, there is no punishment comes down on the people except by a sin. And it is not removed except by sincere repentance. Except by sincere repentance. This is how. Subhanallah al-Azim. And that's why it's very important to haste and abandon the haram. And the fifth one, to continuously perform the obligations. Don't ever neglect the obligations. The salat on time. The fasting. Hijab according to the sunnah. That stops you from going astray. Continuously. And continuously pray the nawafil, the extra salat. Because as the hadith Qudsi say, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whomever takes one of my friends, one of my allies, as an enemy, I have declared war against him. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And nothing my slave can get closer to me than the obligations that I obligated him with. Nothing. That means first you perform the obligations. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. And my slave will continuously come closer to me with nawafil
extra salat until I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. And when I love him, I'll become his hearing that he hears with. What does it mean? يعني anything that he hears pleases Allah. He's automatically, his ear turns away from the haram. When he hears the haram, he turns away from it. Have you tried, if you never listened to the older music that you listened to in the Jahiliyyah days? 5-6 years. And one day, it came to your ear, turned on the radio, something. You say, Subhanallah, how I used to listen to this garbage. You find yourself, you desisted. This is what it means. That Allah becomes your hearing. Means you only hear what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And his vision that he looks with. What does it mean? That mean you do not look at haram. When you see haram, you turn your eyes and you gaze from it. Automatically, without you even intending, you see your face goes, أعوذ بالله. سبحان الله العظيم ويده التي يبطش بها. And his hand that he strikes with. So you only earn from halal. And you only give halal. And you take halal. وَإِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if he asks me, I will give him. وَلَإِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he seeks refuge in me, I will protect him. Also, to sit with the salihin. To sit and mingle with whom? With the salihin. As-salih. The ones who perform good deeds. The lectures, the lessons. When you sit here, this is all from as-salah. And sitting in this gathering, it is the salihin. Sitting with them, you earn from them the reward. Because that's a reward for a place. And this is reward for gathering. And you seek the places where the pious ones are, and you go sit with them. That's one of the most important, especially in the times that we live in. Especially where every gathering in every day, haram is practiced. Words of haram are said. So finding the salihin is rare. So when you find them, sit with them. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put blessings in your heart. And then the last two, reciting the Quran. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, by the remembrance of Allah, the hearts would find peace and tranquility. Reciting the Quran as much as you can. There is nothing more joyful to the heart than reciting the Quran. And remember, as many of us, if we find it hard to utter the words of the Quran, you're getting the double the reward. One reward for reading and the second reward for trying. As for the one who's fluent, he is with the highest of angels. As-safarat al-kiram al-barara, the highest of angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in this Quran, as Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O people, it came to you a reminder from your Lord and cure for what is in the breast and guidance and mercy to the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this Quran not only a reminder, also shifa, kiwa to the heart, kiwa to the diseases of the heart. Subhanallah al-azim. And the last one, athkaru sabahi wal masa. Always remember those. Get that little book which is worth $2 in the material world, but it is worth far more in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you protect yourself from the shayateen. And you protect yourself from the misguidance. And you protect yourself from falling into haram. So make sure you recite that adhkar when you wake up in the morning. And you recite them before you go at night to sleep. This way your day becomes from the minute you wake up to the minute that you go to sleep, all of ibadah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to be. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I only created the jinn and the ins so they can worship me. So your day becomes all of it worship from the morning when you open your eyes. Alhamdulillahi الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا بَعْدِ مَا أَمَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. Praise to Allah, the one who gave us life after he put us to death, and to him we will resurrect. And when you go to bed, you also praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you surrender yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this way your day, all of it in the remembrance of Allah. So these are some of the obstacles on the way of guidance. And some of the reasons and the ways you can find guidance and remain steadfast until you meet your Lord. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. There is no expiry date on ibadah. You will always be a slave of Allah. You will always be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ibadah must continue until that soul of yours leave the body and you surrender it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. That nafs goes back to its Lord. Goes back to the Creator. ارجعي إلى ربك. Come to your Lord. راضية مرضية. راضية, you'll be pleased. مرضية, pleasing. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. استغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير.
For more lectures or to request the monthly ASWJ Media CD to be delivered to you every month, please visit our website. You may also take advantage of the website to request CDs for a particular event, such as a wedding, dinner function, or any other occasion. Visit us on aswjmedia.com.au.